Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many can say that today? There's none like Him. I'm just glad you got the Holy Ghost today. I'm just glad you got hope. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are delighted today to have Brother and Sister Willoughby with us from Singapore. Tremendous people. Tremendous people. Brother Willoughby was the best man in my wedding. And we went to school together. And we had a tremendous time. We won't get into all the details. We won't be telling nothing. But he has tremendously been blessed of God. Him and his wife have a tremendous vision and burden for our world. And they are involved. They have seen many things and are involved from the top of their head to the sole of their feet in seeing something great happen in this world. And we're delighted that they're with us. And we want him to come. And how many wants him just to preach the Word of God? Minister to her. How many wants to be touched by the Word of God today? Do you? Praise God. Let's raise our hands and ask God just to open up the windows of heaven right now. Lord Jesus, we pray that your anointing would rest upon Brother Willoughby. God, your Word, as it goes forth, we pray, God, that it would touch our hearts, our minds, our souls. God, we pray that our vision would be expanded. God, we pray that every need that's in the house today will be met. Lord, every problem that we might be going through right now, Lord, we pray that we can see the answer before we leave this place today. Lord God, move in this place. Let your glory fill the house as we lift you up, as your word is being preached. We magnify you. We receive your word in advance right now. Lord Jesus, we pray. Let's clap our hands as Brother Willoughby comes right now. Let's give God some praise.
Jesus, hallelujah. Continue to exalt him. Hallelujah. To give the King of Kings honor and glory. For he is worthy to be praised. He is high and lifted up. Hallelujah. His presence is here. Hallelujah. His power is here. His purpose, hallelujah, is resting upon you. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask a favor of you. I'm going to ask, this is not just to, but I'm going to ask, the connotations in the Bible, if you use the word scattered, that has a negative connotation. And when the Bible says, and they were all together, has a very positive. So for the sake of the next few moments, because this stuff is contagious. I have a friend that says that it's not so much taught as it's caught. Jesus breathed on them. Now, you can get a virus by somebody breathing on you, but you can also get a lot of other good stuff by rubbing shoulders. So I'm going to ask those that are behind that center pole. There's lots of space over here. I'm going to ask you if we can move in. If everybody, I'm not just doing it to disturb you, but I'm asking you to do that. If you'll come in and fill in. I don't know you folks, and if I misbehave myself, I'm leaving in about 12 hours, and I don't ever have to come back if y'all don't want me to. But since I'm here, I'm just going to be me. And I'm just going to do my best to have us be touched by the Lord. I think these seats over here, I don't think there's anything wrong with them. I'm pretty sure they're good seats. So y'all can help yourself. Do you know why God blessed that song last night, those that were involved in the deaf ministry? Do you know why that song was so anointed? I can tell you. Because the posture of worship and praise is movement. There's no such thing as statuette worship. There's no such thing as praising Him with your imagination. The Bible says that if you want to exalt Him and to praise Him, you're going to have to get into it a little bit. Oh yes, it will cost you something. A sacrifice is not without payment. But when we began to give Him honor and glory, when we began to express our love and our passion, you say, I've got a passion for Jesus. Honey, you're going to have to show it. You're going to have to do it with your action. Why don't we just wave our hands, hallelujah, to Him? Would you tell Him? Would you exalt Him and say, Jesus, I am expecting You to move mightily in the house of the Lord. I have come to see Your glory and Your majesty. We're not just here playing games, God, but we know You're in the house. We know You've come among us for the purpose, hallelujah, of showing Yourself great in the midst of Your people. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Thank you, Brother Hideball. Thank you, Brother Jordan, Brother Kramer, all the district officials. I am not going to tell you any stories of the naughtiness of Brother Danny Hideball. There's a good reason for that. Because whatever he did, I was right in the middle of it. So I can't incriminate him without getting myself in trouble. So I'm not going to say nothing. It is so good to be here with friends. Brother, I probably shouldn't mention names, but when your life has been so touched and entwined with Brother Jim Stark, thank you. All of the men that we've been together with in places around the world, I love and appreciate you, and thank you for allowing me to be here. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. That in itself is pretty amazing. Who did they think they were? That they could come in their pitiful state and stand before a king. Could it be that they knew something about the nature of this king? Could it be that this king had in the back pages of his memory a great, great grandmother who herself had been a harlot? And they knew because of that, that this king was different than other kings. And one woman said, oh my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. And I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger, say stranger. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaiden slept, and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. I want to talk to you for a few moments about a child of change. There's something happening in Ohio, but it was also happening in St. Louis when we left Summons to Sacrifice to fly in here. There is something that is happening among the children of God. God is offering us a dimension that may not have been our fault altogether that we haven't had it before, but God is making it available now. This much I know. So I'm not going to put blame on why we hadn't been there before. I'm just going to say there is a child of change that has been given to us. Would you help me pray? Would you ask God to help me to do my best to minister the word of the Lord? Jesus, I thank you for your kingship and your glory. I thank you for who you are and what you have done in the lives of these your servants and in your people, God. And I give you honor and glory, God, and I want to preach, God, to the best of my ability. And then I want you to step in and I want you to go far beyond any ability that I have to impart your word and your truth and your anointing here upon this people for this hour, for this day. Those that have gathered under the sound of my voice, hallelujah, are your chosen vessels, your choice ones, in whom, God, that you have placed confidence and love. And now, God, I ask that you would empower them and strengthen them through your word here today in Jesus' name. I want to thank you for being so kind and obedient and doing what I ask you to do. And now, in anticipation of what God is going to do in the next few moments, would you applaud Him for the performance of the power of the Spirit and of the glory, hallelujah, that has come into this house for this hour, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Two women, the Bible calls them harlots, prostitutes. They came to the king. It seems to be a bit unusual. We don't use the word harlot and prostitute very much in our congregations. That may be a bad thing. It should be that there are all kinds of people coming in and finding salvation. There should be a steady flow of people of all walks, all sorts, all colors, shapes, and sizes that are coming into the presence of the King. And the Scripture says that when they came to the King. I think it's important before I go any further that I remind us, because if we're not careful, we get an attitude about who we are and what we are. But may I remind you that when we came, when I came, when you came to the King Jesus, we were nothing but a bunch of harlots. We were lost and undone. We were wretched and ruined by sin. Isaiah 64 says, all our righteousness acts are as filthy rags. Oh, come on now, folks. We have been taught that the prerequisite of revival is repentance. That we must understand. I'm not talking about wallowing in the failures of our past, but honey, we need a good appreciation of who we really are. Do you know what heaven is going to be populated with? Harlots, drunkards, alcoholics. But all you can, the only difference between them and the people in hell is the blood of Jesus. There's no difference between the people in heaven and the people in hell. If it were not for His blood, for His grace and His power, we all prostituted ourselves with false gods of materialism and education. But this king was different. Two harlots had two children. I'm just saying, oh, I can't leave there yet. I'm sorry. We're not. You felt it when you was watching the Ethiopia. You felt it when there was a call of repentance. I have seen them. People come in the last 10 minutes of the repentance message, when that scene that you would think, were they going to be able to connect? Were they going to be able to hook in to what is taking place? Because they just walk in there cold turkey, so to speak, coming in from the outside. But I have seen them when the call of repentance, when 300,000 people hit the dirt. I've seen people look around and they do it because everybody else is doing it. At that moment, they didn't feel nothing. They weren't doing anything except there was just what people were doing. But I saw them get on their face. And when the word of God went forth and the call of repentance swept across that crowd, I've seen them get up from there with courses down their face, mud on their face, and rivulets where the tears of God had streamed down their face. I saw them then stand up. And when the word of faith was given for the Holy Ghost, tens of thousands received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it always starts with repentance. These children, two harlots had two children. These children represented a rebirth, a new start, a new beginning. They gave up their harlotry. Those babies were children of change. You say, Brother Willoughby, how do you know? How do you know they gave up their harlotry? What is the basis of which you make that statement? Because the Bible says there was no stranger in the house. Look up the word any concordance. It's zur. It means to be a foreigner, strange, profane, specifically to commit adultery. In this new house, it was probably the same dwelling place. It was probably the same address. The mail probably arrived in the same mailbox. But this house was now a new house. There were no groping strangers. There was no one-night stands. There was no dirty money crumpled up on the nightstand. There was no more cheap perfume and sleazy clothes in this house. All there was in this house was a baby. I must not be getting you there yet. In this house, all there was a baby. And those women had declared, this child is a new life. This represents my new hope. It spoke of promise. It spoke of future. They were women that had no future. They were women that had no promise of tomorrow. But now, in the new house, standing before the king, she's telling him, King, I want you to understand why I'm here. I'm here because something has happened inside of me. There's no stranger in my house. You know when we're going to have revival? It's when there's no strangers in the house. We're sleeping with stuff and we're cozying up and we're getting too friendly with stuff that is taking the reward of heaven away from us. Ohio, God is not wanting to, but God has already started a very... You say, what's happening this week? It's a child of change. You didn't think God brought you here to take you back the same way you came, did you? I mean, you was really expecting that you was going to get stirred and there's going to be some things taken out. We've been... You know what's wrong? We've been praying so long for a move of God's Spirit. You know what God told me last week? He said, Steve Willoughby, I do not want you to ask me for a move of my Spirit anymore. I want you to start examining yourself for a removal of carnality. God said, I am not reluctant in moving of my Spirit. I am not delinquent in sending the moving of my Spirit. The problem is, you need to cut off some carnality. We need an old-fashioned circumcision of the flesh. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Come on, exalt Him. This is His Word. This is His truth. God is trying to birth something in this district that will not leave with the shifting of the wind, that will not leave when the emotion is gone. Honey, when you got a baby in your arms, it doesn't matter whether you feel like a mama or not, you are. If we get this thing birthed and born, if we get that child in our arms, we're not going to be the same. God wants to birth a child of change in you, in me. God wants to renovate your house. He wants to turn your whole life upside down. We're looking for comfort, and God says, I want a discomfort. I'm sorry, I enjoy comfort as much as the rest of you. I turn the air conditioning on when I walk into the motel room. But I'm talking about an attitude that we will not allow ourselves to be moved or to be changed or to be renovated when God says, I want to turn your world upside down with hope, with blessing. I'm not talking about change. I'm not talking about the superficial kind of change that we used to do, Brother Hideball, when we ironed our shirts at ABI. We set up the ironing board in the room when we were roommates. And you get out your shirt, your nice white shirt, and we iron that rascal. We iron right here and right here. And we iron right here. Because when you put the coat on, It didn't show all the wrinkles on the sleeves. Didn't show all the wrinkles in the back. And so we covered up our condition pretty good. I'm not talking about that kind of change. I'm here to tell you that if we would take off our coats of position, if we would remove our titles, some of us wouldn't like to see what's underneath. We don't want anybody to know that underneath there are wrinkled attitudes, that there are creases of hatefulness, that there are stains of bitterness. I'm talking about a change that goes to the core of your being, that changes who you are, that changes how you act, that changes how you give, that changes how you presently live. Come on, church. We need a child of change. We need to have our life turned upside down by the power of the gospel. You say, why? Because we're not getting it done the way we're doing it now. We're not getting the job done. So something must be different. Okay. Fasten your seatbelts. And I'm not going to pick on you precious people that are here. Because you're the apple of his eye. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people that would like to be here. And so I'm just going to simply say this, though, because I have to say it. I'm not sure you can call yourself a Christian and not be deeply, I said deeply, involved in world missions. The Christ by whom that we call ourselves Christians didn't die for a county. He didn't give his life a ransom for a city or a state or even all the white folks in all of the United States. The Jesus that I know said, and it was not a suggestion, he said, go ye unto all the world. If you're not involved in an all the world revival, if you're not involved in an all flesh outpouring of the Holy Ghost, you might want to quit calling yourself a Christian because you're not very Christ-like. You're going to have to change. We need a child of change that renovates our life to where we can't sleep because of the lost that are dying without Him. Okay, they're not here, so, but you, will you tell them for me? Will you tell the folks that aren't here that because they refused to come, because they had something better to do, the folks that didn't that had options but chose not to come, will you tell those that are not here for me that if they think that they can graduate beyond the nursery song that you learn at the lowest level of Sunday school, at least they were singing it when I was a kid, and it said, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Honey, you can't graduate beyond that. The reason why we taught it in our Sunday school is because that is a foundational desire that has to be in your heart, that you're looking to save the world. All the children. Red, yellow, black, white, doesn't matter. We have a commission. We have a commandment that we can see His Spirit. In the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Okay, I've got my suitcase packed. I know I'm treading on dangerous ground. But you can't. You really can't be a Christian. One out of five people on the planet, one out of every five people that inhabits this planet is Chinese. One out of three, every three people that have never heard the story of Jesus Christ is Chinese. And if you think that you're going to have revival and not get involved with some places like India that's got almost 1 billion people, and a place like China that has 1 out of every 5 people on the planet and 1 out of every 3 that has never heard the gospel is Chinese. And you think that you're going to set and heap up unto ourselves all that we got and all that we are, and then we're going to stand there uncondemned and without God looking at us with a sad look in His face? I think that you are sadly mistaken. I am telling you that God has come to save the world, and you are His means. You are His conduit. You are the vessel by which that He has chosen. This world will not be reached by angels. It will not be preached by angels. If it is going to happen, it is because we love, because we care, because we desire a child of change. If you desire a God to change us, God to shape us, would you reach out to Him right now? Would you say, God, birth something in me. Put something in me, Jesus. I don't think there's anybody here, but I woke up and the Lord just... I don't have any axes to grind, so I know it wasn't a bad spirit. I just started writing stuff down. I had to go to the front desk and ask for some paper. I just started writing stuff down because this was fresh for you. There's a minority of folks that are thinking that all this worship, all this extravaganza of, that this is just a little bit unnecessary. That we can have revival without all of this. That all this wildness... Well, if you think that this is bad, then may I suggest to you, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. You think heaven is quiet? You're thinking you're going to take a nap and doze off in heaven? Honey, there's only 30 minutes of silence. And then after that, it's glory to the Lamb for eternity! You better warm up to what heaven is all about. It's about casting crowds. It's about crying, holy, 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 Lord God omnipotent, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. You better become a student of the Word. Didn't you get anything from Jehoshaphat? He put the enemies of God on the run with praise and worship. I preach in a lot of Muslim countries. I know of no other such an oppressive spirit. It's tough in the Hindu people, Brother Sism, but if I have to deal with a Hindu spirit or the Muslim spirit, I'd probably, given my preference, I'd rather deal with the Hindu spirit. I haven't been in the radical areas, but that's just my experience so far. But I minister in a lot of Muslim countries. And I've walked into meetings where it was tied up and tied down and bound down so tight that it didn't seem like you could ricochet a prayer out of that place. And I've seen folks going through a little cultural style of worship. And I'm a missionary, and I'm not about Americanizing people. It's not about Americanizing people, for sure. But honey, let me tell you, clapping and dancing and shouting, honey, that's not American. That's Bible. That's not American culture. That's Bible culture. That's a man that was called a man after God's own heart, that wrote down in the Psalm, clap your hands unto the Lord, all ye people. Shout with a voice of triumph. Dance unto the Lord. Sing it to the Lord a new song. That was a man who had discovered the heart of God. That's Bible. That's what Jesus loves. That's what sets the captive free. That's what brings the anointing. So here's what I do. When it gets tied down, swarped down, and you don't even feel, to raise your hands is almost intimidating, because you raise your hands and you look and everybody else don't have their hands raised. I know what it is to be in Sister Barbara, to be on the front and to be worshiping. Thank God it's not that way anymore. This last weekend in Singapore, had over 700 people in church. There were 76 received the Holy Ghost and 21 baptized last weekend. That's the way it is now. It didn't start out that way. And so when I go into a Muslim country and I'm in a meeting and it's tied down and there ain't nothing happening and it don't feel like anything's going to happen and I don't even feel like anything can happen myself, my flesh is saying, oh boy, when you preach, it's going to be tough. There's not going to be any response. That spirit is just setting on this place. You know what I do? I tell my flesh, flesh, you're stupid. You don't understand the things of God. And I'm not cooperating with you, but I'm going to cooperate with the Spirit. And I get my lazy carcass down from wherever they got me, and this is what I do. I start dancing, and I dance around the perimeter of that place. Wherever there is people sitting, I start dancing, and I worship God. And I go around the entire the circumference of the place. And I dance, and I dance, and I dance, and my heart beats faster, and I get to thinking, I don't know if I can do this or not, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to dance. I'm going to worship. I'm going to do it. I'm going to love God. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to exalt Him. I'm going to dance around the perimeter of that place. Jesus! Now then, here's what I do next. I tell the devil, I say, devil, I might not can control all of you, what you're doing in Pakistan. First time I prayed this prayer that I remember was in Lahore. I said, I cannot control the spirit realm of all of Pakistan. I know I have not prayed enough. I have not engaged in spiritual warfare here. But let me tell you something, buddy. I have come here and in the will and in the purpose of the Holy Ghost. And I do have spiritual dominion over this area of ground that I have just danced on. Because the Word of God said that wherever I put the soles of my feet, that I can have dominion and authority and power. So devil, you're out of here. If you're inside there, out, out, out. Jesus, you come and inhabit. You come and live. You come and stand among the people. It has never failed. It has never failed to elevate the level of faith. Demons are driven out. People are delivered from being demon possessed. Record multitudes receive the Holy Ghost. Worship Him one more time. Do it. Hallelujah. Give Him the sweet incense. The offering of sacrifice that is so sweetly and so powerfully given. You may be seated. A couple of people were very kind. And they stopped me. And they said, Brother Willoughby, he said, I just love watching you and your wife worship. He said, I've never seen anything quite so beautiful, so attractive. May I tell you, I appreciate the comment, but I understand what's really taking place. Been very few people in my lifetime that have called me attractive. Aren't there any illusion that I've grown any new hair lately? And that I'm getting better looking? Except for that little redhead right there, I'd be a lonely man. And so I understand that when you say that's beautiful. What you may not realize, and you know that it's God, but I'll tell you exactly what it is. When I dance with angels. You say, well, Brother Willoughby, how do you know? You see, all that propels me in my life is getting the promises of this book. This book says that he's Jehovah Jireh. Well, that's wonderful that he provided for Abraham, but I need him to get into 2002 and get where I live. I need that Logos to become living Rhema to me. I know that he is Jehovah Nissi, that he is my banner, and that he is my personal presence. But I need more than it just written in the book. I need to know that is individualized for me. And so Sister Barbara and I was ministering somewhere, and I had just got through making an entire maniacal fool of myself, because God will rarely give me permission to stand in the back corner. I promise you, if I thought that God would allow me, that is my preference. But it seems that God always says, get out in front and do it. And so I came back, and I'd done it for a long time, and I sat down. I said, God, these people don't know me. They're going to misunderstand what I'm going to do. They think that I'm showing out, and I am showing off. And God said, well, aren't you? I said, no, God, I don't think so. He said, sure you are. He said, who are you doing it for? Then I understood what he meant. No. I'm not showing out for you. But honey, I am showing off. I'm showing off for him because he loves it. He loves it. It makes him love me and me love him in a way that there is no substitute for it. I've been lonely and I've been without his presence. But I know that he said that where two or three are gathered together in his name, that's not talking about meditating. That's talking about worshiping and glorifying him. So I was sitting there feeling real pouty. God, you make me do stuff that embarrasses me and people don't understand. God said, I'll tell you what. If you quit worrying about what people think, I'll make you a promise. God says, you dance when I tell you to dance, and you'll never dance alone. Every time you dance, stay with me, I will put an angel of my presence with you. So, they thought I danced the first part of the service. It didn't compare what I did to the last half of the service. No comparison. After the service, somebody asked me, said, wasn't it neat what one of the sisters saw? I'm talking about there was 8,000 people there at a conference. Said, wasn't it neat what sister so-and-so saw? I said, I hadn't heard about that. They said, well, said when someone was leaving the tabernacle, said she was just sitting there and she was just looking catatonic. She was just... And they thought maybe she was having an epileptic something, you know, a seizure. And they walked over to her and when they touched her, she just kind of... And they said, sister, are you okay? She goes, oh, yes, I'm fine. She says, I've been watching the angels. She says that as... Now, you have to understand, I felt that promise was to me. And so I wrote it down. I wrote it down on my notes that was in my Bible at the time. Sister Barbara was sitting beside me, and I said, Barbara, this is what God just promised me. This is what God just told me. And I said, I'm not going to be intimidated about this anymore. And she read it. She goes, that's good. That's powerful. And now we've left the service, and now somebody is telling me what the sister saw in the place. I didn't see it. I'm jealous of people that see all of it. It's a godly jealousy. I mean, I want to see it. I don't see nothing. But this is what she saw. She said that there were thousands of angels that were up on the wall that was around like sentinels. And she said that as the prayer, that as the praise and worship, as the children of God began to minister, it was not the preachers. It was as the laity began to lay hands on one another and that chains began to fall off of them. And when they did, the people would begin to lift up their countenance. They would begin to lift up their voices. They would began to worship that inevitably broke loose in a dance of victory. And she said when that happened, that those angels whose wingspan was about the length of a pew said that they would come down from off of the wall and that they would stand over those that were praying and over those that were worshiping, and those angels would cup their wings and that they would dance with the people. That while they were dancing, that angels were swirling. Honey, when you see me dancing, it's not me that's beautiful. It's the presence of Almighty God, because I dance with angels You need a child of change. You need to change your attitude about worship. It's powerful. It's a weapon in your hand. You can bring down the strongholds of the devil. Yeah, clap your hands. Come on. Praise Him. Do something. Do something to exalt Him. But in the midst of all the blessing, you may be seated, all the hope, all the promise. The amazing thing to me is how that in the middle of the greatest move of God, that some people managed to backslide. And one mother got careless. Maybe that right there is the problem. Carelessness. Because the Bible says, watch. It's talking about alertness. There's no time to be off your guard. This isn't the love boat. We're not on a cruise ship to nowhere. Singapore has become famous for the cruise to nowhere. I've never gone on it. I don't want to go nowhere. I'm going somewhere. I'm on the cruise to somewhere. I'm on the cruise to the celestial city. I'm on the cruise to the New Jerusalem. But it's not a luxury liner. It's a battleship. It means you got to be at high alert. If the siren goes off, it doesn't matter if you had 2 hours of sleep or not. Honey, you better hit your knees for some intercessory prayer, because there's a war. There's a battle going on somewhere, and somebody is counting on you to lift up the bloodstained banner. We're on high alert 24 hours a day. There's a child of change birthing all across America. I was in a church just 2 weeks ago. The pastor on a Sunday night called for 120 days of 5 o'clock in the morning prayer. The very idea. Can you imagine something so unspiritual and so unscriptural as moving people out of their comfort zone? And the problem was, his church, every person in there lived at least 30 minutes. A lot of the people lived 45 minutes away. The pastor said, for the next 120 days, we are meeting for 5 o'clock prayer. He goes, not at your house, here. God said, here. You say, well, why here? And God does what God wants to do. And a lot of times, He makes it a little bit ridiculous just to see if we'll do it. Well, that was as good a preaching as been done, you know, all the last few minutes. But it was not without the pastor's nervousness. At 4:45, when we left the house, the poor pastor was kind of fidgeting. He was wringing his hands a little bit, you know. I patted him on the back. I said, it's going to be all right. Because when you call for 5 o'clock in the morning prayer in a city church where everybody lives 30 to 45 minutes away, he's kind of wondering if anybody's going to be there. And so he's driving down the road. We came through the intersection. We turned a little bit of the curve. We came up to the rise. And when we came over the rise, I heard him exhale. You know why? Because there's about 125 cars on the parking lot. We pulled into the big driveway. I got out of the car. I stood in the driveway because there was cars coming from that direction. There was cars coming from that direction. They were pouring in on this side, pouring in on that side. The Holy Ghost came upon me and the utterance. And I had the same feeling. I had the same utterance on my lips last night when I saw you worshiping. And I saw this district board and these men on the platform that gave themselves to exalting God the way they did. I'll tell you what the autotomic response that came out of my mouth when I saw those people, 200 worth that morning in that prayer meeting, I erupted and my mouth said, there is hope for America. There is hope for the earth. Come on, if we'll let God birth this child of change in us, there is hope for America, for men and women that will pray. I saw parents wrapping their newborns in the blankets. They came and laid them on the pews. I counted 17 toddlers and children that were laying on the pews, under the pews, on the platform, as parents laid them down, let them sleep, but they began lifting up. Mothers had newborn babies. They got a bottle in their mouth and they're speaking in tongues. There's hope for America. There's hope for the earth. If the apostolic, one God, Jesus' name people will allow God to birth a child of change. It was no less on Tuesday. By the end of the week, it had grown. There was 250 people there on Friday. There was two people that walked in off the street, said, "What are you people doing at 5 o'clock in the morning? This place is lit up like a Christmas tree." And they said, "Can we pray with you?" They logged in. One church, one congregation, in 5 days, logged in more than 1,000 hours of prayer. You want to tell me they're not going to have revival? You want to tell me that they can't change their spiritual environment with that kind of commitment? Oh, it was different around the harlot's house with a baby. But she knew it was the best thing that had ever happened to her. Why don't we quit resisting these things that God's wanting to birth in us? Has God ever done you bad? Has He ever done you wrong? Has He ever robbed you? You ever given away anything that He didn't give you double back? If you really love the child of change, this mother smothered it. In her quest, and here's what we have to guard against. In her quest for comfort and relaxation, she suffocated her own baby. The devil didn't kill that child. The devil can't kill your revival, honey. You can dance a perimeter and you can order him off the premises. Don't tell me we had cancer in our family. I know what it is to go to the door of my eldest daughter's room and hear her crying inside and sobbing and weeping and saying, "God, don't let mommy die." I know what that is to be attacked. And I know what it is to put a prayer perimeter and to pray a hedge of protection and tell the devil, "This is not your property. Those kids do not belong to you. They were dedicated to Jesus. They are baptized in His name. Out of here. Out. Out. I tell you, you demons of fear, you demons of doubt, you demons of unbelief, out of here." I know what it is to go for a whole entire year without having any demonic attack because of the power of one prayer. Right now, some of you are being harassed by something that so I'm going to ask everybody to stand just for a second because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But some of you right now need to get your hands up right this instant, right now, because there are some harassing spirits that are after you, that are tormenting you, and God is giving you deliverance right now. If you'll speak it, if you'll command, if you'll resist the devil, he'll flee from you. If you'll say, "God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to change the way that you want to change. I will birth. I will take care for this baby. I will not become relaxed. I will not become lazy. I'm not going to lose this child of change." And now, by the authority given to me as a man of God, and by the authority given by the Word of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command these harassing spirits, leave! In Jesus' name, leave! Be set free! Clap your hands if you believe that God has heard our prayer. If you're the one that needs deliverance, you'd be clapping your hands more than that. You'd get extravagant. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. He's leaving. He's leaving. He's leaving. Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning." It don't take long for the old boy to pack and leave. He's out of here. He's out of here. In Jesus' name. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. Keep on praying for a moment. Come on. We don't have anything else to do but see God deliver. There's nothing more important than Him breaking the yokes. Hallelujah. The anointing is here. You can turn to someone. If you have knowledge of someone's problem, someone's difficulty, why don't you lay hands on them? I don't have to finish this message. God may be ready to do what He wants to do right now. Come on, children of God. Hallelujah. Tell Him your need. Hallelujah. Tell Him your need. Youngstown, Ohio, be set free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Pack your bags, devil. Get out of town. Howl, ye spirits of darkness. We have come to torment you before your time. You'll find no rest in Ohio. You'll find no rest from the capital to the provinces. You'll find no rest in the county seats. You'll find no rest in our homes, in our factories. We're ordering you off the premises. Yes, yes, yes. In Jesus' name, resist him. He flees. He flees. He's a coward. You show him the blood, he runs. You show him the name, he's out of here. He's no match. He's not on God's terms. He's not God's equal. He's not even close. Michael's got more authority than Lucifer has. Lucifer has fallen from his estate. Michael is still standing before the throne. Would you pray in the Holy Ghost for just another minute? If you don't know what to say, speak in tongues. Speak in tongues in the name of the Lord Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. You may be seated. I need to finish because I thought maybe I didn't have to finish, but I need to finish. There's some other things I got to tell you. In this midnight hour, in the dark that is just before the dawn, anybody believe that we're in the midnight hour? The lady identified, she said, the swap, the child of change became the child of exchange in the midnight hour. Just before the awakening, just before the revival really got there, she let the cares of life come in and she smothered her child and it died. And so I'm commissioning you. I'm telling you to be on your guard. Do not let the devil exchange your child of change for a dead hope, a dead promise. Don't go to any baby funerals that are initiated by the devil. You have not prayed your best prayer yet. You have not taught your most anointed Bible study. You have not worshipped your finest worship yet. You have not witnessed your greatest miracles. They are just beyond this moment. Don't lose the child now. Don't smother your own baby now. God is getting ready to erupt on the scene that is beyond your wildest imagination. When Brother Cole went to Ethiopia, he did not immediately expect to see what they are seeing now, but it happened. And now he has with his own mouth anointed men that will exceed and far exceed what has happened. It shall be so because he has spoken it. This mother that's left with the dead baby knows that the dead child is not hers. She knows that the careless woman has her baby. Some of you are looking at the prosperity of other people and other things and other groups and other things, and you're going, and rightfully so, there's something needs to rise up in you, and you need to shake off your complacency and say, that's my baby. You need to look at the growth of some charismatic churches. And I'm not belittling what God's doing among other people, but you need to look at what's happening in some other places, and you need to get the right kind of attitude. And you don't need to say, God, take away from them what they're getting, but you need to say, that is my baby. That's my child. That's my promise. God gave me that promise a long time ago. That child, that baby, that hope, that dream, that belongs to me. You say, Brother Steve, how do you get back what the devil has stolen from you? You want to know how you get it back? I'm going to tell you, it's real simple. Here it is. Here's how. Here's the answer. If you need to expose a thief, you get under authority. Oh, some of you is looking for a glamorous answer. Some of you is looking for something that, you know, that agreed with your flesh. Let me tell you, if you need to expose a thief, you get under authority. The devil is trying to take away your blessing. If you feel like that you've been robbed and that you've been stolen from, if you feel like that the revival that you want and that you desire is just out of your grasp and not getting there, one of the first places you need to check is to see if you are under authority. Get yourself bowed down in the presence of the King. When she lost her baby and wanted to get it back, the first thing that ex-harlot did is she came into the presence of the King and she prostrated herself and said, "Oh, King, live forever. I place my problem in your hands." The reason that some of us are having the problems we have is because we want to fix everything ourselves. We want to make every injustice right. We look at the problem or the person that we think is a problem and we say, gloves or bare knuckles. Notice, the woman with the dead baby did not challenge the woman with the live baby to a bare knuckles fight. No. She went running to the place and she got herself under authority and she threw herself down in the presence of the King. You want revival? The first thing you need to do is to run to your district superintendent and you need to get yourself under authority, because the anointing flows from the head of the man who is in authority. It flows under his head, down onto the skirts of his garment. If you get out from under, you're never going to be blessed. You're never going to have power. You're never going to have revival. Come on, you need to shout about that as much as the other stuff. You need to give God glory. We got too many bare knuckle fighters who never give the King the chance to settle anything. I'm my own defense. I'm my own problem solver. I'll make it right. Who are they to do me that way? No. You're not understanding. You need to run to the King. But some of us don't trust the King. Because when she goes before the King, the first thing the King does is he pulls a sword. And that's why some of you don't run the King. Because you've heard about the sword. Folks, it all comes down to a matter of trust. Some of you... Oh, Brother Lucas said something that was it's rather peculiar. He gave the suggestion that we might, at offering time, want to pray. It is amazing to me that people can be so connected to the Spirit and so dancing and so worshiping when the choir is singing, and then when the offering's taken, they kind of go off into la-la land. The ceiling gets so beautiful during offering time. We don't want to make eye contact with the man that's taking up the offering, because that might compel us to. And we sure don't want to make eye contact with Jesus. Because you know what? Because we're scared of missionary prayers, and we're scared of offering prayers. Because we know that if we were to come to God and come to this altar and say, God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. Careful. We don't want our children. We parents, we don't want our children praying that. Because you know what we think is going to happen? We're sure. We can't trust God. Not with our kids. Because if they go down to the altar and they pray, God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. Just as sure as they do that. We know they're going to live up. They're going to end up living in Africa in a little grass hut, eating bugs and rice the rest of their life. They're going to be a missionary for sure. I'll never get to see my little baby again. Some of us don't want to pray, how much, God, how much should I give in this offering? You know why? Because God just might ask for all of it. Oh, and by the way, whose is it anyway? Where did you get it from? Does it belong to you? Oh my goodness, I started pastoring. I'm supposed to be doing something else. I thought I was in Singapore. You should have seen the look on the woman's face when the king pulled out that sword. And his words, but even if he had not had a sword, his words stabbed right into her heart. Because the king said, divide the baby. Notice he didn't say kill the baby. He said divide the baby. The Bible never says kill the child. But everybody there understood that division is death. Everybody in the audience of the king understood that division is death. If you want to kill what God is trying to do in this camp meeting, if you want to stop and you want to stifle and you want to murder what God is trying to do in this camp meeting, divide it. Encourage division. Cast doubt, reservation, and misgiving on everything that's going on around here. If you dissect this meeting with division, you're going to kill the revival that God is trying to give you. But we're not going to do it. We're not going to give in to division. We're not going to allow division to kill our child of change. We've got wise men. We got men like Brother Sism that said, I'm ready for a child of change in my life. And I'm going to step aside and I'm going to let somebody else come in. It's not because he wasn't doing a good job. The world had never had the revival that it's had in the last 25 years. But God is birthing something new. It requires a shaking. It requires a willingness to say, I'll do what I've never done. I'll go back to where I've ever been for a while. But I want you to notice the spirit of the other woman. The spirit of the other woman said, let it not be mine or thine. Some people just don't care about the child of change. You need to get away from those people. You need to identify those people that all they can say is negative and stuff, and all they can do is doubt, is cast doubt. If Brother Jordan says it, they go, well, that's true, but I'm getting sick and tired of people's butts. God wants to do this. Well, but do you know that the practical and that is the enemy of faith? You're going to have to get beyond your logic. You're going to have to get beyond your ability. God has sent to our organization collectively, and I believe to each district, that God is in the process of delivering a child of change. We have at this moment fresh vision, fresh direction, fresh anointing, and we cannot afford to get into the business of division. You say, well, Brother, and I'm wrapping it up. How do you know who the true mother is? How do you know who those are? Because everybody says you want revival. Oh, when Brother Cunningham said, how many wants to leave here different? Probably about 99% said, me. Well, where are they at? Everybody claims to want a child of change. But how do you know when there's so much talk and there's so much rhetoric? How do you get beyond the facade and the front? How do you find out who will really be your partner in revival? You know what? Here's the key. The true mother said, give the child to the other woman. A true mother of revival understands that to get, you have to give. A true mother of revival understands that in order to keep the child alive, sometimes you have to surrender your will. The true revivalist says, not my will, but thy will be done. The true revivalist is not jealous when someone else has revival and they say, well, it's not really revival. They're just collecting saints from other people's church. Now, unfortunately, that does take place. But also, may I suggest that if somebody builds a fire, they'll leave the cold places to seek out the warm places. May I suggest that if you want to keep folks, that you build a fire so you can keep them warm in this cold, dark world? I'll tell you what. Any church in Singapore that can get any of my folks away from the fire that we got built, they're welcome to them. I don't want them anyhow. Because they have, if they have done that, they have rejected. Because in the last 4 years, we had 1,659 receive the Holy Ghost in Singapore in our services. We average 8 people every Sunday receiving the Holy Ghost. And if you can walk away from that, then you don't understand apostolic. You don't understand one God, Jesus' name, new birth, revival. And because those that have got it, they're not leaving it. Those that understand it, they're not going to anything any la-la charismatic stuff. You get the real fire, honey, they'll hang with you. Oh my goodness, that wasn't in the notes and it probably didn't belong there. The true mother of revival says, not my will. I'll tell you what a true mother of revival will do. A true mother of revival will say, it may not be happening like I want it to happen, but I surrender to the will of the King. I'm not going to begrudge what's happening in somebody else's city. I'll tell you how God brought revival to my soul. I took myself that was elder and I made myself junior to somebody. Somebody that was younger than I was. Somebody that in a lot of ways had a lot less experience than I had. But there were some areas of their life that had to do with crusades and had to do with some things. And I signed on as a junior member with them. It would do a lot of us in a senior position to make ourselves junior to something. You know what that's doing? That's submitting to the King's authority. That's saying, this might not be the way I do. Did you know that Jesus warned us that His ways were not our ways? That His logic was not our logic? That the way that He does things? So if you've got it figured out, you're going to have to turn what you've got figured out completely upside down. Because God's not going to do it that way. Would you stand with me? Barbara, I need you. Do you have the checkbook with you? I need you to bring the checkbook and come, please. True mothers of revival would do anything in their power to avoid division. The Bible says that God so loved that He gave. Jesus was the child of change that changed all of our lives. Do you think that it was easy for God to give His Son? Do you think that it was easy for God to give His only begotten Son? But God knew.
God knew that in order to get, He had to give. He wanted a bride, but He couldn't give a bride. He couldn't receive a bride without giving His blood. Now, folks, if God had to do that kind, how are we going to preserve our child of change? We are going to give, 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 give. And when you give Him, Brother Billy Cole preaches a message that after you have sacrificed, the reward of your sacrifice is more sacrifice. The reward of you giving $35 a month was, did you get off the hook, Brother Lucas? No, 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 no. You had to give more sacrifice. Then it went up to 75. But then you impressed God with your generous giving, and God said, now then you are off the hook. No more sacrifice for you. No, the reward of a $75 sacrifice was more sacrifice. Now some of you are right now wishing you were gone from here. Because you're saying all you missionaries, you're all the same. All you do is talk, 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 talk about money. You don't live where we live, and you don't deal with what we deal with. You're right. Okay, I admit it. You're right. I don't live with what you live with, and I don't deal with what you deal with. And in a lot of ways, I don't comprehend what you're going to. I've been gone from America for 15 years. And you're right. I don't understand your. Because in Singapore, a fourth acre of land costs $3 million. So I don't understand your land prices. You're right. To rent a 680 seat auditorium, we have paid for the last year and a half $22,000 a month. Anybody here beat that with your church payment? You're right, I don't understand. I just got an email last week that the landlord has raised our rent to $28,000 a month. Not one penny of that ever has been or ever will be paid with money from America. Not one penny. It's all been paid by Singaporeans. So I don't understand. You say, well, Brother Willoughby, what did you do? What are you going to do? Because, I mean, raise the rent from $22,000 to $28,000? I'll tell you what I said. I said, they can't do that! That was before I prayed. After I prayed, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a faith promise. Next week. In Singapore, we're taking faith promise. Last year, our faith promise service, those dear people gave $110,000. I'm asking God to raise that up to about $200,000. I'm not talking about to bring in. I'm talking about to give away. We made 42 trips in the last 4 years that have netted approximately 10,000 people receiving the Holy Ghost. And during that time, our attendance has gone up, our giving has gone up, what's been going out hasn't hindered in any way what's coming in. Because I know that the way to get is you got to give. The way to prosper is to give it away. That as I show myself trustworthy and worthy to receive, God says, I'll give you more. So we're not letting down. You say, because the rent went to 28, you're going to back off on your mission trip? No, 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 no. We're going to put some extra stuff on the calendar, honey. I'm just going to dare. You stupid devil. You think you're going to intimidate me that way? Are you out of your crazy mind? You lying liar! Well, you won't be able to pay your bills, Brother Willoughby. You keep giving away money at that rate. Are you stupid, you ignorant devil? I can't help it that you don't understand repentance because you can't repent. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm not even sorry. I don't care that you can't worship and praise God and feel the joy of the Holy Ghost like I can. So you don't understand. But I tell you, There was a witch that was converted. She was a high priestess. She said, there are two things that drive the demonic world crazy. One is your tears, because the devil can't repent. The other is your worship, because the devil does not understand your joy. When he has a part in raising your rent to $28,000 and you go on a rampage of giving, the devil is put into chaos. Because Jesus gave, He gave His life, He got my life, and He got your life. Now then, Sister Barbara, I actually need you to do this because I'm going to finish this message. She gave me one of them wifely looks then, I think. But I'm sorry, hon, I just do you. Here. I need you to write out a check. Last night, I believe it was your dear 14th district secretary. He said some words that were similar to this. He said we need to retire this debt in the next few years. Brother Kramer, this is no reflection on you, because you're a man that deals with the realities of what comes in and what it takes to pay the bills. But when he said we need to retire this debt in the next few years, my stomach wrenched. Amen. Like I said, I don't have to come back. But I am going to finish what I started. They got that devil. I had to call him long distance because he's not even here anymore. When I saw this house filled to capacity and chairs being set out in the side aisles, and I heard the statement that we're going to retire this debt in a few years, my stomach just curled and there was a wrenching gut pain that went through my body. Because in a few years, we may be in the New Jerusalem. We don't have a few years. And so to prove to you that missionaries aren't always just giving, I'm not showing out, I'm not showing off, but I have come here to see God do something. Money is spiritual. Don't you ever think that it's not. Jesus talked about money more than He talked about adultery. And the spirit of America is materialism. And if you want to bring Satan down in America, quit hoarding and start giving. Amen. Amen. I am challenging this district that before this camp meeting is over, I am challenging, what is the amount of the debt? Where's Brother Kramer for this meeting? $109,000, let's round that off to $110,000. This I have in my hand is a $5,000 check from my wife and I. The Lord has spoken to me, and I am challenging that there will be, that would be what? We need 21 more people to give $5,000. All it takes. Brother Danny Hideball, I wasn't planning on doing this right now. Brother Danny Hideball just gave another $5,000. That's $10,000 that is given. Now all we need is 20. Brother Jordan just said another $5,000. Now we're down to 19. Anybody? I wasn't going to do this, but there's Brother Pasley's got $5,000. Here's another. Somebody going to just kind of keep up with this? $5,000. Anybody else? Now it's dangerous. Don't scratch your head. If the sweat's running down your nose, let it drip. Don't rub your face right now. What did we just get? What did we just get? Huh? 17. So how that's what's come in so far? 25 or 30? What? Okay, that's fine. There will be an opportunity before this meeting is over for you to let the spirit of giving come upon your heart. I want you to have a new tabernacle. so that you can accommodate the crowds, or at least attempt to accommodate some of the crowds that God is going to send. Can you not see that, children of God? Will you raise your hands and will you embrace the child of change that God is putting in your hands right now? Will you embrace, hallelujah, the spirit of giving that God, hallelujah, is bringing to this district?
Let it rain.
Maybe you don't have 5,000, but you've got 1,000 that you're committing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you're willing to say, I want this district, hallelujah, to be debt free. Hallelujah. Would you bring it right now? Hallelujah. Is that okay, Brother Jordan? Can I do that? Hallelujah. Can we have some kind of receptacle here? Hallelujah. Maybe you don't have, hallelujah, 1,000, but you got 500. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you come? Hallelujah. Will you pray? Can I suggest that you close your eyes and pray? How much do you want it to rain?
Let it rain.
I've got two teenagers. I'm going to need money for college. You say, can you afford to give away 5,000? I can't afford not to. Not when God speaks. I can't afford not to. The altar is open. Hallelujah. You can bring your offering. Hallelujah. But at least come and pray. At least come and pray. Hallelujah. Bring something. Hallelujah. Come. This is a part of worship. Hallelujah. This is what all the shouting is about. Hallelujah.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
The floodgates.
Let it
rain. Come on, we have time for some prayer. We have time. Hallelujah. To nurse that child of change.
Open the
bring that baby in your arms.
Heaven. Let it rain.
Hallelujah. Bring your child of change. Come on, Ohio.
Open the floodgates.
I don't care whether you bring an offering. Bring your sacrifice. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. We don't have to go eat yet. Not for another 5 or 10 minutes. Come on. There's room. You can't always get in this altar. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. Come. Come. Hallelujah. Bring your child of change. Bring the new thing that God's doing in your heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let it rain, let it rain.
$25,000 has already been given. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands into the Lord.